You are tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more.
Sponsored in part by Replays, Gameware, Movies, and More, and Creative Foundations, employing individuals with disabilities.
Now your hosts, Sam Dunham, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, and Josh Harrison.
Hey everybody, it's that time again, time for another episode of the Nerd Overload, the show that normally discusses pop and geek culture from movies to TV and video games, but this week it's just all video games. E3, the big trade show where all the video game companies go to LA and show off what they've got coming out the next couple years, happened, and there's so much news that we're just doing all video games. I'm Cody.
I'm Sam.
I'm Josh.
And I'm Samantha.
There is so much news, we are just going to blow straight through the check-it-outs real quick. I don't have anything. My stuff is all E3-related. We could talk about that later.
Yeah, I mean, everything I've done is pretty much E3-related, too. A lot of watching live streams of all the different companies and playing the occasional Splatoon match still.
I watched Chris Pratt try to save people from getting eaten by dinosaurs.
Oh, man. Oh, so you watched...
the Lego movie.
you got an advanced copy of Guardians 2?
But no, I saw Jurassic World, and it's really good.
Oh, excellent. That's what I want to hear.
It's really good. I really liked it.
Yeah, I really want to see it. I just haven't had time to actually get to the theater.
It was packed, and it was like in the middle of the day, too. It was ridiculous.
Jeez.
Did anyone say Clever Girl? Did that come up once?
No, but no. There were lots of other references.
Okay, cool. Was someone on a toilet while also being eaten by a T-Rex?
No.
Ah. Okay, still good.
They missed an opportunity.
They missed it. They missed it for some scatological humor.
Well, when you gotta go, you gotta go.
Anybody else got anything? No, not really.
No? Shaking your head no? Okay.
Yeah, that shows up on the radio when you shake your head.
All right, well, let's go ahead and jump right into E3.
E3 news!
Yeah, you know what? The thing that really kind of started it off is actually kind of my check it out. There was a big Smash Brothers announcement.
Yeah, the day before everything
started. Like the day before. And essentially, three new characters were added to the roster. Roy from Fire Emblem, Lucas from Earthbound. Well, it's probably going to end up being called Earthbound 2, let's be honest.
Yeah.
But Mother 3 in Japan. And Ryu from Street Fighter.
Hadouken!
Yeah, exactly. It's great. It's just great.
Yeah, Ryu is so cool.
Oh, yeah. It's great because his inputs, for people who play the game, there's like, it's a two-button system. You know, there's, you know, your standard attack and your special attack.
It's like a fighting game, but super simplified, but, yeah. So anybody can enjoy it
exactly.
Without memorizing a bunch of ridiculous commands.
Exactly. But the thing with Ryu is you can input his original Street Fighter commands with using the regular attack button, and it gives you powered-up versions of his B-button specials. So, like, doing the motion for the fireball gives you a little more oomph behind it than just pressing the B-button for the fireball.
So if you go, like,
the quarter down rotation,
right,
yeah.
Down right in the button, and he does a super Hadouken?
Yeah, it's a little more powered-up, and if you do the full, like, bottom half, like, 180, he gives you the red, like, the flaming fireball.
Okay.
Like, yeah, and the... and actually, if you do the motion for the uppercut, and you connect just right, it's an instant kill.
Nice. And
like, it's like an instant smash?
It's like an instant smash, yeah.
Oh.
And speaking of smashes, his final smash, you know that little glowing orb thing that pops
yeah.
up? He has two of them. If you're far away from your opponent, he throws a giant Hadouken, a giant fireball. If he's close up, he does like a three-tiered like uppercut.
Shoryuken,
yeah.
Oh.
It's crazy. And it makes me wish that Nintendo had made more new characters to the series. Because Roy and Lucas, they were in previous versions of the games.
Yeah.
And they're also both just clones of other characters, you know?
Lucas basically looks like Ness. I mean, he's blonde Ness. They're both striped.
Yeah, and just like how Falco is Fox.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems like wasted potential. It makes me excited for more additions, because they are going to add to the cast more.
Oh, they will? Because it's a gold mine.
I mean,
so many people bought that pack of DLC when it came out that the eShop went down.
Oh, I know. I tried for hours to get it downloaded. But beyond that, they actually did a lot of new Mii Fighter costumes, including some from Tekken, some from
Virtua Fighter,
which came out of nowhere.
Yeah, Virtua Fighter hasn't done anything in a while.
Yeah. And it kind of makes it interesting that, you know, if they don't have enough interest in putting like the full character into the game, they will at least make a Mii Fighter costume of it, so you can kind of fake your way into having that character in the game.
They did that with the Splatoon kids. There's a Splatoon costume.
And Isabelle from Animal Crossing. She is a gunfighter. Her gun is a party popper.
That's
it's crazy.
Funny.
Yeah. It's really crazy, but you still see the Mii's face. It's like an actual costume. It's not like you just turn into Isabelle,
like
the dog. It looks like Isabelle 8, and your face is popping out of its mouth. It's adorable and offsetting.
It's disturbing.
A cute little Shih Tzu puppy.
Yeah.
In case you don't know.
But yeah, and they added a couple of new stages. One from the Kirby from the original 64 version of Smash.
It's really small.
It's really small. Yeah. And there's a lot of pixelation on the tree's face. Did you notice?
I don't actually have that. I've just seen it in video. I haven't looked that close.
Yeah, they really kind of chintzed out a little bit on it. But it's cool. I mean, it's cool. And Ryu's stage from Street Fighter.
It's really cool, yeah.
Yeah, that's really fun.
Do they drop a Honda?
No, but there are breakable backgrounds.
Yeah, they should drop in a car and then...
Oh, yeah.
And then if it gets completely broken, somebody comes out and goes, oh, my car!
And they added the Miiverse. Now, I don't have a Wii U, so I haven't tried it.
It's kind of lame. I mean, it's just a standard stage with drawings from children in the background.
Okay.
And just, like, kids trying to be funny and not.
Yeah. It is kind of interesting that you can actually, when you do the drawings, you actually set it to a specific character in the Miiverse, like, social media. They're kind of chintzy social media-ish kind of
bulletin
thing.
Bulletin board thing. Yeah. It's like a forum.
Yeah. But you could set a specific character to it, so it'll only pop up when that character is fighting. I think that's novel. I think they could have done more with it, but it's novel.
It's a good idea, but nobody who's talented enough at drawing or writing is doing anything with it.
Yet. I mean, look at Splatoon. I mean, there's some really creative stuff on Splatoon. Eventually, they're going to want to take a break from shooting things and want to punch things, and then, you know, they'll draw their stuff on that, I think.
Yeah, because when you win as a character on that stage afterwards, it asks you if you want to draw something for that character.
Oh, it does. Interesting.
But I haven't seen anything that was the slightest bit funny or interesting.
Okay. Well, yeah, I'm sure it's coming. I'm sure someone's going to latch onto it eventually.
Yeah, because usually the Miiverse community can be pretty creative, like you said, with Splatoon, but it wasn't showing yet on Smash Brothers.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, no handsome Squidwards in Smash?
No. Just a lot of bad drawings by little children.
beyond a couple of Amiibo announcements, but I think we can probably just roll that all into one big Nintendo talk later on. But I think that was it for Smash. What do we want to jump to? I mean, we have a million things to talk about.
Yeah. We could do it in the order that it happened, I guess. Microsoft was first.
Okay.
And we'll probably talk about them the least, because I think we all have... Well, you have vested interest in Microsoft. You were planning on buying an Xbox One.
I thought about it, but I might go with a Wii U, actually.
We can be friends.
Yeah, I know,
we
right?
Be friends.
I'll shoot you with ink.
No, I'll shoot you with ink.
Guys, you can both shoot each other with ink. It's all right. Okay.
This coming from the guy who just hides in it.
Hey, it is a legitimate strategy, all right? Anyway, Microsoft.
Microsoft's big thing, and it kind of is a big thing, is that they're bringing backwards compatibility to the Xbox One.
That's great.
It's about darn time.
Yeah, so you'll be able to play your old games, and your old Xbox Live Arcade downloads will transfer over.
Oh, okay. That's really good news.
Which, yeah, that's a really big deal. It makes me almost kind of want to buy an Xbox One, where before I had no interest in it.
Yeah, now, so it's just a software thing, like... That's the only thing preventing them from having backwards compatibility in the first place?
Apparently. It's really
And it really ticks me off.
And that's the question. Why didn't they have that from the get-go?
I don't know, but they really should have.
They really should have, especially if everything was right there, you know?
They wouldn't have taken as big of a hit from the beginning, I think.
Yeah,
their console was more expensive, but if they could have had backwards compatibility over Sony from the start... They probably wouldn't have lost so many users.
Well, it would have convinced more players to sell their 360 to get a Xbox One.
That too.
Because you know what? Why do you want to get the new system where you can play all of your old games? And like, therefore, the longest time, everything was coming out for 360 and Xbox One.
Yeah, I have a guy I worked with who bought two copies of Call of Duty, the Advanced Warfighter or whatever, to say he had friends on the 360 and the One.
Oh, wow.
Well, that's misplaced devotion,
yeah,
I think.
But,
well, he's like 20 years old. So.
Oh, well, there you go.
So explain the backwards compatibility a little bit more. Like,
yeah, I don't know the details all that much.
I don't think they said much besides, guess what, guys? You can play your 360 games.
I read an article about it, and they were talking about how, I'm not even sure if the update's even live yet for that. But basically, by Christmas time, over 100 360 titles were going to be available on the update anyway for the be able to play it. And basically, developers had to submit a form to Microsoft, and then Microsoft would then do the rest to make that particular game backwards compatible.
Right, yeah, that's what I heard. It was developers having to submit their game saying, we would like this game to be backwards compatible, and Microsoft cherry-picking from that list, from those developers. It's kind of a weird way of going about it.
Well, they kind of did the same thing with the 360 in the original Xbox games.
Yeah, not all the original Xbox games are backwards compatible.
And basically, you had to put the disc in the box, and then it basically you had to have an updated Xbox Live, and then you had to put the disc in the machine, and then it would kind of do like a micro update and be able to play it.
So it would be like loading Windows into like from Windows 7, loading XP mode to play some classic games, or opening up like Command Prompt. Or something to play old DOS.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, it's a big emulation thing, I think.
Right.
They probably just didn't have the code for it yet, and now they do.
Gotcha. Okay, well, that's cool. That's really cool.
It's something I really hope Sony does, because I have a whole bunch of PlayStation 3 games I can't play because my PlayStation 3 is broken. But other than that, they had another game called Record, which I don't know exactly what it was about. They had a trailer where there was a girl in the desert with a robot and getting attacked by other robots.
Yeah, now this is the guy that...
It's by Keiji Inafune, the guy that did Mega Man and Mighty No. 9.
Yeah, and so ladies and robots are kind of the wheelhouse.
Yeah, and it's by the rest of some of the guys from Metroid Prime. They did Metroid Prime, used to work at Retro, but now they have another company, I guess.
Okay.
But that should be good. I mean, that's some good... good creators behind it, so that should be an interesting thing.
Yeah.
They had Halo 5 stuff, which I don't know if any of us are really into Halo at all.
You know, there was a point in my life where I played a lot of Halo, despite not owning a system. Figure that one out. But, yeah, I just don't have interest in it.
Yeah, I mean, of all the big shooter franchises that people get psyched about, I probably tolerate it the most.
Well, because you're not shooting people.
Yeah.
You're shooting, you know, fantasy alien types, you know?
Well, the last one I played was Reach, and I really liked that one, and that's basically where I went with. 3 was, and I used to be real big into Halo, like, when the original Xbox was still the big hot thing, but also I worked for GameStop at the time, so it was like, it's what you did.
It's what you had to do, yeah.
I mean, Halo 2, like, that night was insane.
I actually remember... Yeah, I remember that being a crazy night.
Oh, man. We had like 500-something people at the mall. It was ridiculous.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Some dude tried to break almost broke his foot because he went to the wrong door and tried to kick in a locked mall door.
He tried to kick in a door to get to his Halos.
Yes.
Wow.
That's devotion.
Also, let's take a moment and think, can you imagine 500 people in the mall?
Wow.
Our mall?
It was a line. Through that hallway that goes from that back door where the bathrooms are all the way up to the GameStop.
Wow.
Wow. I can hardly imagine 5 people in the mall now.
Yeah.
I know, right?
It's like the only people in the mall are the ones that work there.
And the old people who walk the loop.
Yeah.
The mall walkers.
Yep.
But yeah, that's another thing with like Halo Reach was the last one Bungie made themselves.
Yeah. Now they're all up on Destiny.
Yeah, which is I don't know.
I like Destiny a lot. But
I like Destiny, but it's not... It was like Titanfall. I like Titanfall, but it was hyped so much that it didn't quite deliver as much hype as I thought it would.
I didn't pay any attention to the hype because I thought it would be something I wouldn't like and went into it completely blind, and I really like it. But other things from Microsoft, they had a pirate online game called Sea of Thieves, which they had a trailer for that looked super duper fake.
Oh, yeah.
But it was cool conceptually. Like, who doesn't want to play a pirate game where you got ship combat, ground combat, you know, searching for treasure, MMO with your friends? Sounds like a good idea.
Yeah, that does sound like fun.
Pirates make everything better.
Yeah. Now, is that just for the Xbox One, or is that going to be PC as well?
I think they said Xbox One, but
okay,
it could be PC later. I mean, yeah, a lot of their stuff ends up that way.
Yeah, yeah. But no, that does sound like fun. I mean, I hope the ship combat is handled better than, from what I hear, Assassin's Creed, the pirate one.
I wish I would have played that one, but I haven't.
I've heard that the ship combat was not great. So, but beyond that, I have no idea. So,
yeah, their trailer for Sea of Thieves, they try to make it look like it's actual gameplay. Like, they put names over the characters' heads.
Oh, geez.
But it's like, I can tell this is not gameplay. Like, there's so many things wrong about this.
Me being of the extremely love of pirate, all things pirate, I've played a lot of games that have ship combat, and it's a very weird thing to try to do, like, well. Either it's so simple it's stupid, or it's so complicated it's almost impossible.
Yeah.
Right.
The only games with ship combat I can think of where it was really good is Sid Meier's Pirates, where it's probably a little too simple.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a pirate game or a boat game, but Star Trek Online has really cool ship combat.
That's what I was going to say, yeah.
Yeah, Star Trek Online has great ship combat. I don't know, I used to play this pirate MMO that I think it still kind of exists, sort of, but it was called Pirates of the Burning Sea. It was on PC. And the way it worked was you had to worry about the wind, and depending on how well you were going to turn and how fast you were going to go. But then you had various guns that had very different ranges. And there was, like, you had a firing arc in front of, or, like, around your ship of where you were going to hit.
Okay.
And depending on where necessarily you were in while you were sailing around is dependent, like, maybe specifically where you hit. Or if you had a specific type of ammunition loaded. Like, chain shot would rip down masts, and then your ship you're fighting would stop moving.
Okay.
And basically, you could just park behind it where it can't shoot you and just blow it away.
I always wanted to play that game, but I could never, whenever there was like a free trial or something, I could never get it to work.
Because, it's free to play now, but nobody's ever on it.
I might check it out.
You can rule the seas.
You could be the
not
Black
really because because it's all player based economy, and there's nothing in the auction houses to purchase.
Oh.
We all have to get into WildStar, by the way.
I know,
oh,
right?
Yeah, I like
I know.
It a lot. And it's going free-to-play, and right now there's a Humble Bundle where you can get it for literally a dollar.
And with 30 days free time.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Super, super awesome.
So check that out, because it's a really good game.
Yeah.
But back on topic.
Yeah, back on topic.
Well,
which is other game?
We can go into the multi-platform stuff.
Yeah, let's
now.
Do it. Why not?
There was Bethesda did their own E3 show, which they don't, it's the first time they've ever done it, but they're a big deal now, so
yeah,
they can kind of do that.
Yeah, they can do that.
First thing they showed was a new Doom, which is reaching back into the, you know, the classics.
Yeah.
And it looks really cool. I mean, it looks like Doom. It's super brutal. Like, there's a lot of crazy.
It's interesting you say the word brutal, because I've heard that they kind of borrowed heavily from the fan-modded game Brutal Doom.
They absolutely did.
Like, yeah.
They maybe should pay Sergeant Mark, the guy that made Brutal Doom, maybe pay him some money.
Yeah.
Because it's a lot of the same stuff.
Really?
But Brutal Doom is really fun, so it's kind of a good way to go with it.
Yeah.
It's faster, like Doom should be.
Good.
The designs are pretty cool, the monsters look cool, but I would like them to be more colorful.
Because mm-hmm.
when you think about the original Doom monsters, they actually have a lot of color going on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
The flying eyeball things were like a super bright red, and like the zombie guys are like bright green hair. And
yeah, and the big brown imps or the pink demons.
Yeah.
But all the monsters in this Doom kind of have the same kind of fleshy, browny stuff going on.
For now. Maybe they'll update it.
Yeah.
Who knows?
There's a whole modding feature to it. You can make your own maps through this tool called Doom Snap Map.
Really? That's interesting.
So you can make your own maps and game modes and basically, like, baby's first modding suite for Doom.
Oh, wow.
Which is kind of cool.
That is cool. That
something
is cool.
That's like a running theme with this E3, I think, is allowing people to mod games.
Yeah, there's a couple.
Make their own maps and, yeah.
Yeah, there's a couple games that have that. Fallout 4, too. We'll get into that when we get to Fallout 4.
Yeah.
The multiplayer in Doom looked a lot like Quake 3.
Oh, really? Okay.
Which is good. That's some of my favorite deathmatch.
Oh,
is,
man, yeah. Quake. You want to talk about lightning fast multiplayer death.
Yeah.
Spawn dead.
Like, it looks like a cool game. It looks better than Doom 3 was. And even not everybody trashes on Doom 3, and I'm kind of a Doom 3 apologist. I kind of like the game, but but it looks really good. Graphics aren't as nice as you would expect. It kind of looks like maybe they started development on the older consoles, and now they're moving over to the new ones, and it's kind of, it looks like in between the two type of thing. Mm-hmm. Kind of like how Fallout 4 looks.
Yeah, I mean, Fallout 4 did look a lot like, with prettier backgrounds, but it's still, model-wise, looked a lot like 3 in New Vegas.
Yeah, which we'll just move on to Fallout 4
yeah,
now.
Yeah, let's just move on to it now, sure.
But they revealed a ton of stuff about it.
That's what I hear. I mean, I didn't even watch the presentation, and I know a lot about Fallout 4 now.
It's nuts, all the stuff you can do in Fallout 4. You can craft weapons, like, out the wazoo. Like, you can turn one weapon into a completely different weapon. You can build buildings. You can wire generators up to buildings and make your own. Yeah.
Design your own lights.
Wow, that's crazy. That is crazy. What was the thing with the Pip-Boy?
You can get a Pip-Boy.
Which is the gauntlet, right?
Yeah, the little computer gauntlet that the guy or girl wears in the game. Apparently it's like a $120 special edition of the game, gets you a Pip-Boy case that you put your phone in, and they've written a Pip-Boy app for iOS and Android that syncs up with a game to show you all your Pip-Boy menus and stuff on your phone, which you would then put in this case.
Oh,
so you would have
wow.
your own Pip-Boy on that would show your game information
that
while you played.
That is crazy.
Yeah, it's really super cool. And
though they did say the app would work without the housing device.
Yeah.
If you just want to be that guy.
Or if you just you want to tape your iPhone to your wrist.
you know what? I can see someone build their own Pip-Boy.
Yeah.
Well, it's been done.
Case.
Oh, yeah. It's been done before.
Oh, sure. I mean, cosplayers, definitely.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's really interesting in a very gimmicky kind of way.
Yeah. Like, the guy, Todd Howard, the director of the game, admitted that, like, this is a huge gimmick, but it's the coolest effing gimmick we could think of is exactly what he said, except he swore.
Yeah,
but I can't swear on the radio.
Another thing about the Pip-Boy is, in the game, they made games you can play on it.
Oh, yeah, there's like little mini games and stuff.
Yeah, they're like little arcade games. There's one that looked like Missile Command and another one that looked exactly like Donkey Kong.
Yeah, but they were like the Fallout verse kind of versions of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so the Donkey Kong was like a communist.
Yeah. Yeah, he was called like Red Menace or something like that.
That's all right. I'll save my $120 and just duct tape my iPhone to my power glove.
There you go. That'll work.
Yeah. But no, that sounds really cool.
Yeah, this is going to be really a big game.
Yeah.
And you can still play as either gender.
Oh.
There was people worried that you weren't because the character's voiced now.
Okay.
And they were worried, like, to save money, they were just going to hire one voice actor, and then you'd only be able to play as one gender. But no, you can still be both, and they're both voiced.
Yeah, well, that's good.
The character models do kind of look like garbage still.
Well, that's, yeah.
Yeah, and they move like robots.
Well, again, you know, Fallout, you've come to expect it at this point.
Yeah, it's kind of a shame. They show stuff before the war, like before the apocalypse, which I kind of don't like. Because I think
you just like this is the world. This is this. You get glimpses of it, like where people talking and things you read. But.
Yeah, part of the fun was kind of like imagining this world. You know, collecting this information as you play and imagining what maybe the world was like beforehand. But now they're just spelling it all out to you, and it kind of takes the fun out of it a little bit.
Huh.
I still want Liberty Prime to make an appearance.
Yeah, Liberty Prime's great.
And if you don't know, Liberty Prime was a giant robot that America built to fight the communist Chinese before the war started.
Oh, wow.
And then in Fallout 3, you wake him up. And he's like, he's this colossal robot, and he just says all these, like, communist era, like, better dead than red, and stuff like that.
It takes place in Boston, where, like, the Institute is, and it's supposed to be a little bit more technologically advanced, so maybe we'll see something like that.
Well, I also saw from the original trailer, like, flashes of D.C., too, which 3 took place in D.C. and the surrounding area.
Yeah.
Let's see, we have Dishonored 2 on the list here.
That was kind of a surprise. Like, everybody was really into Dishonored when it came out. It was kind of a big thing, but not, like, super huge, and it was a new IP, so it was kind of a gamble at the time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's kind of like a cross between, like, BioShock and Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, or, like, the Thief games.
Or, yeah, the Thief games, yeah.
But they're doing a sequel. And it's cool because you can play as a male or female character now, and the design for the female character is real. She just looks really cool.
Cool.
And they didn't really have much more than that. It was a trailer that was neat, and it's just cool to see a game that was original and good, you know, getting another one.
Good.
And one of the other multi-platforms is this another South Park game.
This came out of nowhere.
I'm so excited.
Yeah.
This looks great, yes. South Park, The Fractured Butthole, W-H-O-L-E, Butthole. Let me make that clear. Let me say that again. South Park, The Fractured Butthole. There's no comma, but space.
Yes, space bar, hole.
Yes. But no, it's coming out, and it's not done by Obsidian this time around.
No, it's one of Ubisoft's internal teams.
Yeah, the San Francisco house, I think, is what it is, what they said. But yeah, during the press conference, Trey Parker and Matt Stone were asked, you know, hey, so we thought that the Stick of Truth was your last game, and they said something about, you know, the thing about that is we're a bunch of whiny babies. They didn't want to make another game, but decided that they finally, by the end of the development for Stick of Truth, they figured out how to make a good game. So they're like, well, let's just do another one.
Do another one.
And this looks great. It's superhero based.
Yeah. Instead of RPG fantasy, now it's superheroes.
It's RPG superheroes.
But it's the same system of Stick of Truth.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep. And you're still playing as New Kid.
Well, I think you might be a different New Kid. Or are you the same New Kid?
I don't know. In the trailer, they referenced the New Kid from Stick of Truth. So okay. It might be a continuation.
Well, it does kind of open up in Stick of Truth.
Yeah.
But then, like, Butter shows up as Professor Chaos.
Professor Chaos! Yeah, but no, it looks great.
They always...
God, it just looks
anytime
so great.
Anytime they do anything different after they're done with it, they always say it's the last time they're going to do it.
Yeah. And they always go back on
it.
Though, to be honest, Stick of Truth was like the first really, really good South Park game.
Yeah, well, it's the first one they had anything to do with.
Yeah.
True. God, man, that game is so fun.
Yeah, it's
I wish
really
there would
good.
Have been like more like maybe like DLCs or something for it.
Yeah.
But you have a whole second game. So
I know, right?
There you go.
When
consider it one giant
universe.
Full price DLC that you have to put
South
a separate
Park,
disc in.
The Stick of Truth 2.
Okay, you know what? I think let's go ahead and take a quick break here, and when we come back we're gonna be talking about some Sony stuff.
Yep.
Is that where we wanna go?
Yeah, we'll go
ahead and Sony.
Alright, cool.
Nerd Overload is brought to you in part by Replays, Gameware, Movies, and more. Replays is the place for all your gaming needs, from retro up through current-gen systems and accessories. They even have a free customer rewards program. Mount Vernon Avenue, Marion, across from the Marion Plaza. 751-4072 or online at facebook.com/replaysmarion.
Nerd Overload is sponsored in part by Creative Foundations.
Hi, my name is Robert.
Hi, my name is Amber.
Hi, my name is Jessica.
I'm Jimmy, and I work at Crave Foundations,
a store that employs people with developmental disabilities.
We have four locations:
Delaware, Mount Vernon, Marysville, and Urbana.
Our website is creativefoundations.org.
Find us on Facebook.
And we're back. That was Pac-Man Fever by Buckner and Garcia.
A classic.
Oh, yeah. Is that really a classic?
No, it's terrible. I've got that. I bought that album on vinyl off of eBay just for the novelty factor.
That is great.
And it is all just
the worst. What's
the
other song
on
the other side?
There's several songs. There's Do the Donkey Kong. There's one about Centipede that's really weird. Like, it's awful. Maybe we'll do the Donkey Kong some other time.
Oh, yeah. We'll save that. Anyway, we're back. We're talking about video games from E3, and I think we're going to talk about the Sony, what they had.
Sony's press conference was nuts.
Yeah. In a word.
talk about my body is ready. Yeah. Sorry, Reggie, but...
Sony made everyone's dreams come true, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They performed miracles live on stage.
Final Fantasy VII Remake.
HD.
Ah, yeah, I know.
It's happening.
It's making me kind of side-eye the PS4, like...
A little bit.
Do I
want
to buy this? Yeah. Do I want to spend the money now?
It's going to be multi-platform. It'll probably be on PC, too.
I hope so. Oh, man, I hope so.
Here's my thing. Don't get me wrong. I love Final Fantasy VII. It's one of my favorites in the entire series. But why is it specifically this game that everyone loves so much that it needs every spinoff in the world, a movie?
Because it was the biggest, you know, it was the most different of the series at the time. Yeah. I mean, they had 6, which was expansive in itself. But this one was, you know, the first one in 3D. It was the first one with a huge storyline, a really deep, deep storyline.
That's,
you know,
true. Stole most of its material from Evangelion. But...
Well, sure.
It was in the right place at the right time is why it got so big. The people playing video games were at just the right age for it to, you know, speak to them at that level.
Yeah. Was this like the first major game that had like an actual character, like an actual playable, like main character disappear 2/3 into the game? I'm not going to spoil it.
No, the other Final Fantasy games had things like that.
Yeah, have death, but none of them hit this way.
Right.
They weren't done in such a cinematic way to where it actually affected
I think that's it. This movie was the first... This was the first Final Fantasy... I said movie instead of game. This was the first game that was cinematic.
Though there weren't many cinematics in the game.
But there were enough. But, I mean, it was like... There's a term nowadays that's in, like, comics that's... writing in HD, writing in, you know...
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like the big... It's what DC and Marvel do. The big, huge events. Like, the big... expansive things that are like you're reading a movie.
Yeah.
And I think this was the first Final Fantasy that really kind of tapped into that. And again, you know, it hit just at the right time with the right group of kids. It was lightning in a bottle is what it was.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There's better Final Fantasies. That's arguable. But this one just was there at the right time.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong. It is one of my all-time favorites.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, sure. Oh, definitely.
It's not my favorite Final Fantasy, but it's up there. Top 3.
It is a close second to 6.
Yeah, 6 is my favorite,
or 3,
too.
Whichever you want to call it, you know. But, yeah, I just hope they leave in this guy R. Sick.
Oh, yeah, the guy.
The bad translation.
The bad translation in that one, the one instance of it.
Yeah.
Wall Market is going to be so weird.
Oh, yeah.
In HD, I don't know how they're going to have to, like, make some major cuts or, like, not make it so weird.
Yeah. Now, do you think that they're going to leave in the posters for the album Loveless by Death or 30 Seconds to Mars? Was it 30 Seconds to Mars or Death Cab for Cutie? Was that it?
I don't know. They
I'm
look
it up.
I think that came before the band naming something that did.
My Bloody Valentine. That was it.
Yeah, they stole the name from Final Fantasy, I think.
Oh, they did?
I think in-universe in Final Fantasy VII, Loveless is a play. No, it's an epic poem.
With the album art by My Bloody Valentine.
Huh.
The play in the game called Loveless, it derives its name from an album by My Bloody Valentine.
Huh. So it was, 1991. It was the other way around.
It was the other way around, yeah.
Huh.
That is weird.
It says I'm on the Final Fantasy Wiki, and we're going to stop reading the internet here in a second. But it says that the woman that's in the poster in the game looks a lot like the singer-guitarist Belinda Butcher from My Bloody Valentine.
Huh.
Hmm.
Yeah. Crazy. So, yeah, that's kind of what they did. Someone in the development team must have liked this band and decided they're going to kind of shoehorn this thing into it, you know? Anyway, do you think that's going to end up in the game?
Probably. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that it's finally happening.
Yeah.
After them teasing it and talking about it for 100 years.
Forever.
And just porting the regular version of the game onto everything under the sun.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that really bad PC port.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is actually fixed in the Steam version.
Oh, is it?
Mm-hmm. The Steam version actually has a mode where you can set everything to level 99, so you can just experience the story without having to worry about grinding.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
That's nice.
It lets you blow through the game in like 5 or 6 hours, but you get to enjoy the game without having to take time and spend days like getting the levels and everything.
Hey, you could kill that big snake in the swamp at the beginning.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Or I could finally beat Emerald Weapon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man. That fight
I've never actually finished Final Fantasy VII.
Really?
Really?
I always get toward the end of the first disc and run out of steam.
You know, the first time I played it, I actually got stuck in an area that I couldn't get out of. I accidentally drove, like, when you get the Land Rover on the beginning of Disc 2, you go to an area, and I accidentally drove to an area where the enemies were way, way, way overpowered, and I could not get out because I kept getting stopped by an enemy who would wipe out my party and would start the save over. You know?
Oh, yeah.
I could not get... I was stuck, so I just kind of gave up. Oh, it was around the time I had to sell off all my games anyway, so I went with them. But when I got it on Steam, I went ahead and played all the way through it, and it is fantastic. I love that game.
Final Fantasy VII is one of the first... It was the first, like, big, huge, epic games that I had beaten.
Yeah, I can believe that.
That's part of the reason why I was doing... Or still am doing that Final Fantasy project where I'm playing through all of them and then writing articles is because I haven't finished very many. I've played all of them, but finished very few.
Yeah. Well, hey, you know what? By the time you get to VII...
Maybe the remake
will be out. Yeah. That's not a knock. I mean,
you have a PS4.
They're working on it quick. It would be a great kind of tie-in, a little bit. But anyway, whatever.
If I ever get all the way through 3, because it is a nightmare.
you're having a personal nightmare. It's your white whale.
Yeah.
But anyway, beyond Final Fantasy, do we have anything else to say about Final Fantasy before we move on?
I just can't believe they're actually doing it after all this time.
I know. I heard that news and I was like, this is a joke. Yeah. They started with a really good joke.
The promised land has come.
Yeah.
Like, what is this? What? Like, oh no. No. No.
Yeah, watching the trailer, like, because it doesn't write out, go spell out right away that it's Final Fantasy VII.
You just see, like, a gun. You see a gun just kind of swinging around, and then it pans up, and it's attached to an arm.
Yep.
And then there's a whole bunch of crowd, and then all of a sudden there's a big sword, and then the logo pops up.
Yeah, they didn't even put the name on it. No. It's just the Comet.
It's just the Comet logo.
Yeah. That's great.
Oh.
Okay, so.
Speaking of other things no one ever thought would ever happen in a million years, Shenmue 3 is a thing that I guess it is happening. It was a Kickstarter that they announced.
It's now fully funded.
It's funded in 9 hours from what I heard.
Yep.
$2 million funded.
In 9 hours. That's ridiculous.
That's insane.
But that's how bad people want this game.
There were supposed to be 7.
Yeah.
You know what? They're going to make enough money on this Kickstarter to make a fourth one.
Probably.
You know?
Okay, for people who don't know, Shenmue started out as a Dreamcast title back in the day. The Sega Dreamcast.
Actually started development as a Saturn game.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
But it was. I remember the commercials for it when it was coming out, and it had like a guy like in a mental hospital talking about characters in the game and how he had to save them and avenge his father. Like, that is the kind of marketing that went with this. The game played like a very serious martial arts action film set in 80s Japan, where you're playing the son of a karate master who is killed right in front of you. And now you're seeking revenge.
Batman.
Sorta.
Chinese Batman.
Japanese Batman.
Asian Batman.
I mean, God, I loved that game. I played it so much, trying to find all the move scrolls and all the little secrets and all the little story arcs.
It's such an interesting and deep game, so ahead of its time. Like,
I know.
It was open world before that term existed to describe it.
To be fair, the world isn't that big in the game.
Yeah, but I mean, it was still a go anywhere, do anything.
Kind of thing, yeah.
Yeah.
You could talk to anybody. I mean, there was all kinds, depending on how much you dragged it out, it was like set during like Christmas time in Japan. You could make it to New Year.
Because real time, it was in real time.
Yeah,
wasn't it?
It was real time. And, you know, if you were stayed out late, too late, sometimes maybe your character would look at his watch and goes, I should go home. And then the screen fades to black and then you wake up at your house.
Huh.
Or your housekeeper would call you, looking for you, telling you you should come home.
Yeah. It wasn't real time, but there was time passed.
Yeah, time passed in the game.
Yeah, it was a fraction of real time.
Okay, interesting.
And you could play, there was Sega arcade machines that you could just play, and it would play, you could play Super Hang-On, or buy capsule machine toys just to collect.
Yeah, they had a whole, like, collection system in the game, and it tracked these little toys you collected.
Oh, that's insane. That's insane.
Oh, yeah. And then there was, like, the huge cast of characters.
Well, I mean, it doesn't... Maybe it's not insane now. It was insane for back then.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the game had so much going on in it. And just the story was great. All the characters were different. You wanted to know more.
The fighting was like a fighting game.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you learn different combos. And then you had to sit there and practice the combos before you put it actually on your move list.
Mm-hmm. You could... it invented the QuickTime event, more or less.
It did.
The cinematic QuickTime event.
It did. Wow. And the very first one you ever do is... kicking to stop a soccer ball from hitting you in the face that was kicked by a child from down the street. That is the very first one.
Wow. All right. Well, hey, listen, we got to, I wish we could talk more about this game, but we got to move quick. We got a lot of stuff to cover and really not a whole lot of time to do it. So, for Sony, what else do we want to talk about real quick?
Another one, Last Guardian, which was a game that Sony had been kicking around since 2009 and we hadn't seen anything since. It was going to be a PlayStation 3 game. Now it's PlayStation 4, and they had gameplay. It exists.
Wow. Yeah. That's cool.
It's by the guy that did Ico and Shadow of the Colossus.
Oh, okay. That's good.
I love those games.
That's good stuff.
It's like you like play as a little boy that has this big like dragon dog bird thing following him around that's huge, and you use it to solve puzzles and travel through the environment.
Oh, cool.
I don't know, it looks really cool. Highly anticipated.
Because I like Shadow of the Colossus.
It seems like a logical progression from the last two games.
Yeah.
Where Ico, you're playing the little boy hero, and then in Shadow of the Colossus, you're fighting the giant elemental guardian things.
Now right. The giant thing is your friend.
Yes.
Right.
We also have Dreams, which is this weird creation tool game maker animation studio that I don't quite understand.
Yeah, we watched this. We sat here and watched the trailer before we got going, and I don't quite get it. It looks great. But I don't understand what it is yet.
You sit there and make models and then
animate
do
them.
Stuff with them. It sounds a little out of my wheelhouse. A little too intense for me.
Yeah.
It's by the people that did Little Big Planet.
Okay. Well, again, you know, world-building stuff. Yeah. That makes sense.
And speaking of building worlds, there's that No Man's Sky, which I don't quite get it either. Like, it's this game that has a whole entire universe, like a universe-sized universe that you fly around in your spaceship and you go to planets and discover all this, I can't think of the word, procedurally generated aliens and plant life, and like you go and you discover it and claim it that you found it.
That sounds like the last levels of Spore. No one will know this because no one played Spore past the create a monster phase, because everyone got bored once they got to the civilization stage because it sucked. But the last levels of you actually build a spaceship and you fly to all these different planets
that are randomly generated
using monsters. Well, monsters that other people create and uploaded online, but And you claimed it. You claimed it so that other space colonies couldn't.
Huh.
And you mined, like...
Resources and conquer the planets.
So you keep going. Yeah, it sounds like the last levels of Spore that no one's ever played.
It's kind of what it's like, except it's less... There's no narrative or, like, you got to make your own gameplay, I guess.
Huh, that sounds interesting.
Because it's first person and you can shoot the environment and all the environments are destructible, I guess, but why?
Huh.
Like, why would... So I can find an alien somewhere that nobody else has seen and say that I saw it. But if there's so many of them, who cares?
Yeah.
Like...
I'm sure there's got to be some other element that they just haven't announced yet or
something. Yeah, because it doesn't seem like a game at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just a simulation. It's not really a game. Last thing for Sony, and this is something I could talk about real quick. Street Fighter V, they announced a whole bunch of stuff. Previously, they had announced four characters. Ryu, Chun-Li, and M. Bison... making a comeback from, like, all they've been in, like, all the other games. They're bringing back Charlie Nash, who has been in the lore since Street Fighter II, because that is what Guile's character, that's his war buddy that he's trying to get back. But he's he hasn't made an appearance since Street Fighter
Alpha 3.
And he really hasn't made an appearance outside of the Alpha series. But he's been brought back, and he's, like, all scarred up. He has, like, part zombie or something like that. He's got some crazy powers. They introduced two new characters. Cammy, who has been in everything since the Street Fighter II, the new Warriors. And Birdie, who primarily has stayed in the Alpha series, but was actually from the original first Street Fighter, the one in the arcade that was only arcades that you can only play as Ryu and
Ken,
and he's one of the two British stage fighters. Introduced a whole new mechanic for fighting that triggers special that is only triggered by using special abilities. Like Ryu's the only one that can parry attacks. Like out of all the fighters,
wow.
He's the only one that can do that. And when he parries attacks, that builds his gauge. It's called a V gauge. Chun-Li has a special like super jump that whenever she does that, it builds her V gauge. Bison, he builds his V gauge by catching and throwing projectiles back at his opponents.
Huh.
And when it does that, they get special abilities. Most of them are like a timed like power up kind of thing. Like Ryu, he for a short time, all of his fireballs run faster and they have electricity with them. They hit harder. Chun-Li, all of her moves are kind of double. They get multiple hits. The only one that's kind of different from that is Nash. Instead of having a timed like power up, he just you can tap the combo or whatever, and he teleports behind the opposing player. Just and it burns his entire bar. But for a half second, you're staring at their back, and you can just start comboing. Like comboing crazy, and it's great. And they actually took out a bunch of features that were like making players want to like take their time and back up and like do charged and charge stuff. They took out like all that stuff. Like the back dashes are no longer invincible, so you can get hit if you're trying to run away. And it's all to bring it so that people just get up and start fighting and not like take their time. And they like
nice.
And they actually changed a bunch of the input commands or specials. Like there's no more 360 like grabs for like Zangief and stuff.
Oh, cool.
And the ones where you have to hold back for 2 seconds and go forward, they're all fireball motions.
So it's a little more accessible.
It's more accessible to newer players, and it's for lightning fast. Like you're no longer like waiting back and then attacking or doing this and that. It's you just get up and you start fighting, and that's the whole point of Street Fighter V is to just start, just go. That's all it is, just go. You know, I'm excited. I love Street Fighter.
But you sound excited.
I'm excited. I love Street Fighter. You know what? I don't know what it is, but fighting games are my thing. You know, some people are RPG fans. Some people are first-person shooter fans. Sports games, you know, for whatever reason. I'm a fighting game guy. And you know what? I love it. I'm excited for it. And it's great. The only thing that I'm not excited for is they have implied heavily that it's going to be following the newest Killer Instinct model, which is you buy all of the characters one at a time. Or in like bundles instead of. So you just buy the game. The game is going to be super cheap, but you have to buy all the players. And if you're a completionist like me who wants to have everything, you're going to have to pay out the nose for it. And
yeah,
that's
bad news.
That kills me. That
lame.
Kills me. That's the only thing that I'm not happy about. But
thanks,
everything
Sony.
Else sounds amazing. And it's coming out for Sony and probably for PC here pretty soon. Which, well, it's actually spring 2016 is what the release date is. Okay.
Let's move on to Nintendo.
Let's do it quick.
Yeah.
Who had one of the most disappointing E3s in recent memory.
I don't know. I don't know about that, but let's just go into it.
Well, I take that back because the World Championships was before their big E3 announcement, and that was awesome.
It was amazing. That was amazing.
It was a great show. I was on the edge of my seat the whole time. It was super entertaining.
Minus the
Smash Brothers. Yeah, the Smash Brothers went on too long, I thought.
Yeah, it kind of did. The fight between Reggie Fils-Aimé, the Nintendo of America president, and the guy who won last year, that was kind of
That guy was a jerk.
He was a real jerk.
To Reggie, of all people.
Yeah, yeah. Unless they told him backstage, hey, just come out here and just give it to Reggie.
Yeah.
But which they may have. They very well may have. He's, you know, Reggie Fils-Aimé, he has no problem making fun of himself.
Yeah.
In anything that he does.
he kind of loves it.
He kind of loves it. Ever since the My Body Is Ready thing, he's really kind of rolled with it. But the whole thing is great. And it wrapped up with Super Mario Maker, right?
Yeah, it was Mario Maker, the guys at Nintendo's Treehouse, which is their big localization and department. They made their own super hard Mario Maker levels for these guys to play through, and whoever got through them the fastest won the World Championship.
They're crazy. A lot of them reminded me of... Have you ever heard of a Super Mario World ROM hack called Kaizo Mario?
Kaizo Mario, yeah.
Yeah.
It reminded me a lot of Kaizo Mario, and Kaizo Mario is near impossible to beat.
I've seen videos of it.
Yeah,
it's nuts.
The last level they did was very Super Meat Boy.
Oh yeah,
there's a lot of wall jumping.
Yeah,
and saw blades.
Yeah, but that's that is great, and it's coming out. When is it coming out?
Mario September Maker? 11th. But it ended up being down to a guy named John Numbers, which was a guy from one of the Best Buy qualifier events that we went to.
Yeah.
Not the one we went to, but of them.
Did we see which one that our qualifier dropped out of?
BSG 4000 or whatever was the guy from Columbus.
That went to Chicago.
And he dropped out in the second underground match what was the second underground match? Super Metroid.
Okay.
He dropped out during the Super Metroid part.
Huh.
But he owned Zelda. There was a part where they had to finish the first Zelda dungeon, and he blazed it.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
We should try to get him on the show, actually.
We should. Yeah, we should try to get a hold of him. But no, it was amazing. It was unreal. I watched every minute of it. I was at work, and I watched most of it on my phone. But I loved it.
Yeah, it was a great show. I hope they do it again.
Yeah, same here.
But then the next day rolled around, and they had their E3, their regular announcement thing, and I was underwhelmed by some of the stuff they had. They had that new Star Fox, which, I mean, looks cool, but it's not a big surprise. We knew Star Fox was going to be there.
But it's an IP that they haven't touched in a long time.
Yeah, but like I said, it wasn't a surprise. I mean, you knew it was going to happen.
Okay.
I'm just glad for a new Star Fox game.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're bringing the tank back, and then your R-Wing can actually transform into a weird velociraptor-like creature thing, robot.
There's a cool, like, gyro plane that can drop a little robot on a tether that can go into little tiny crevices.
Yeah. All the voice actors are coming back.
Yeah.
From Star Fox 64. Do a barrel roll.
Unfortunately, the story and levels and stuff is mostly the same as 64.
It's a reboot.
Yeah,
it's a story reboot.
Yeah, you didn't say it was a reboot, but it basically is a reboot.
It's a reboot in so many words, yeah. Okay, moving on from Star Fox.
There's a Metroid for 3DS that doesn't have Samus in it, which is something I don't think anybody would want.
Well, I agree with that. What that game seems to me is that they were using the engine from Metroid Prime Hunters to make a new game, and about halfway through development, they decided, you know what? This is so much like Metroid, why don't we just use the assets from Metroid and put the name on it? I don't know. I'm kind of excited. It's interesting that I would love for them to have a new Metroid. I would love it. That would be amazing. I want a new Metroid. But at least they're taking the time to pad out the universe.
Yeah.
Which is something that they haven't done with a lot of their other IPs. It shows that they still care about their IP. And maybe they're working on a Metroid thing that just isn't right yet. And they need something to get Metroid back in people's minds, you know?
Yeah. And it's by Next Level Games, the people who did Luigi's Mansion, and that was good. I mean, it's going to be a good game.
It's going to be a good game.
It's just disappointing that it's not the game that I want to play.
That's also where Blast Ball came from.
Yeah.
Which we talked about afterwards and all kind of said, you know, that looks an awful lot like Metroid. And then, yeah, it turns out it was kind of Metroid.
Blast Ball was like the second round of the World Championships. It's a game.
The 3-on-3
like,
robot soccer.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. Okay. We talked about Mario Maker.
Wait, one more thing about Metroid.
One more thing.
I don't like how the art looks. It looks like Fisher-Price Imaginex presents Metroid.
Yeah, it doesn't look really good.
They look like these chubby figurines, and I don't like it.
Yeah, it doesn't look very good. Okay, we talked about Mario Maker. Do we have anything else to add about that?
No.
Okay. Legends of Zelda. We did not get an announcement for the Zelda U. I have a feeling it's because they're holding off for whatever the next console is going to be. That's probably going to be a launch title for the NX or whatever it's going to be.
They might do what they did with Twilight Princess where they split it over the two.
That's probably what they're going to do. Instead, we got one.
I'm a little heartbroken on that one.
Yeah, everyone is. And that's kind of why everyone's upset with Nintendo and saying why they lost the E3. But anyway, they announced Legend of Zelda Triforce Heroes on the 3DS, which uses assets from Link Between Worlds. Correct?
It looks really good. I mean, it's kind of like Four Swords, but with three people.
Yeah, it's a three-player cooperative, which is interesting. It's really interesting.
Yeah, it looks like it'll be fun, but once again, it's not what anybody wanted.
Yeah. Just going to blaze through this next one real quick. Yo-Kai Watch. It's a huge game in Japan. It's like Pokemon, but with
Ghost Monsters.
Ghost Monsters. I don't know how it's going to translate over here. I'm going to check it out because, you know, it seems kind of fun to me. I'm into the Japanese monster kind of stuff. Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows?
There's a Mario and Luigi game, but the twist is it's got Paper Mario in it, too.
Yeah. I was hoping the real twist was that Mario RPG Legends of the Seven Stars or whatever would pop up somewhere as well.
Yeah.
Like the original Square Enix one.
Or the twist is that Wario and Waluigi are in it. That would be cool.
That would be super cool. The last one, and I can't believe we didn't write it down on the whiteboard, Earthbound Beginnings.
Oh, yeah. That came out right before the World Championships, they announced it.
Yeah. That is amazing because that is, those of you who don't know, Earthbound in Japan for the Super Nintendo, it's actually the sequel called Mother 2 to a game that came out on the NES called Mother. We never got the original.
It was fully translated and ready to go, and the Super Nintendo came out, and they're just like, we're not going to release it. And now we have it. Now it's on the virtual console on the Wii U.
Yep. And I heard, and I know we said, my projection was that they're going to announce Mother 2 or Mother 3 for American localization. They didn't do that. But if you're playing Earthbound Beginnings, and there's like a building in one of the things where you can't get into it, and it's supposedly like the game development house or whatever, and like a little jokey thing that pops up saying that they're working on Mother 2 when you knock on the door because they were working on the next game. They've retranslated it to say that they're working on Earthbound 2, which is probably Mother 3, which is, I'm saying, is them saying...
I think the original translation had that in it before.
Well, it said Mother 2, which would have been Earthbound. So they would have, if they would have translated it
regular, they
would have said, we're working on Earthbound in here.
They did the translation like way, way back in the early 90s, and the game then was called Earthbound.
Okay.
So it says we're working on Earthbound 2, which would have been the Super Nintendo
one. Well, either way, I don't know. I'd like to believe that it's them slightly hinting that, hey, we're going to put this game that everybody wants.
I was kind of half expecting them to announce that at the second E3 thing, that was going to be on Virtual Console too, but no. I mean, that would have been a big deal. That would have been a Final Fantasy VII remake level big deal.
It would have. And you know what? If Nintendo knew that Final Fantasy VII was going to be announced from Sony, I bet you anything that they would have done something with Mother 3.
Yeah. I mean, having the original Mother is almost a Final Fantasy VII level deal. I was super surprised.
That's a really big deal.
I'll say you guys were like hardcore, like squeeing out on Facebook.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. They announced a bunch of Amiibo stuff. We can always talk about that next time.
Yeah.
One thing I did hear that they didn't announce, but I heard that they're working on a Star Fox R-Wing, but they're trying to figure out how to make it both transformable and cost effective.
Huh.
So they're going to make a little transformer toy amiibo.
Huh.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably going to be like that. But it might be also like a base for like your Fox amiibos or whatever. Anyway, and there's something with Skylander. I don't care for that.
Speaking of Transformers, there's a Transformers game too that we don't have time to talk about.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We might have to roll some of this stuff into next week.
We're going to have to. Yeah, we're definitely going to have to. We might have to do like a wrap up.
So, pew, pew, pew.
Yep. Anyway, you've been listening to Nerd Overload. We are out of time. Check us out each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
Facebook.com/ Nerd Overload website.
That is the Facebook page. Go like it's there.
Or on Twitter, you can follow us at @nerd_overload.
Email us at staff@nerdoverload.com. We would love to hear from you.
We would actually, here's our listeners out there, people who know about games and care about games. I'm asking the question, who won? And I hate using those terms.
Yeah.
I hate those terms, but it's the best way to describe it. Who won E3? Which developer, which game console, which one did the best job? We want to hear from you. Put it on our Facebook. Send us an email. Put us on our Twitter. We all pay attention to this stuff. We're asking your opinion on things. So please, get a hold of us. We are really out of time.
Right, before we go, who won?
Sony.
Sony.
Who won?
Sony.
Yeah, I'd have to say Sony. So we're pretty unanimous.
Okay, if they didn't announce Shenmue 3 and Final Fantasy, if they only announced one of the two, would Sony have still won?
Yeah.
If they didn't announce either one, who won?
Nintendo.
Okay. So what we're saying is Microsoft lost.
Or Dice for their Star Wars stuff.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Yeah.
I mean, Microsoft didn't do bad. It was better than usual.
But they didn't do as good.
Yeah.
So, okay, anyway, we're out of here. See you next week.
This show was sponsored in part by Replays, Gameware, Movies, and More, and Creative Foundations.